This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the conversation pre-mortem to reduce emotional reactivity in high-stakes conflicts. A practical system for staying calm before the conversation ever begins. In short, emotional reactivity in conflict does not begin when someone raises their voice. It begins the moment you start dreading the conversation. The conversation pre-mortem gives you a system to diffuse that dread before you walk into the room. You identify the specific triggers most likely to hijack your thinking. You assess each one honestly instead of avoiding it. You prepare a clear response so the moment cannot ambush you. Definition: the conversation pre-mortem is a structured preparation method where you anticipate the emotional flashpoints most likely to arise in a difficult conversation. Assess their probability honestly and script your response to each one before the conflict begins. She had prepared her facts. She had rehearsed her key points. She had even written down what she wanted from the meeting. But the moment her colleague said, "I think you're taking this personally," she lost the thread completely. Her voice tightened. Her thinking clouded. Everything she had prepared vanished, and she spent the next 10 minutes trying to recover ground she never got back. The conversation pre-mortem is the preparation she did not do. It is not about anticipating what the other person will say. It is about knowing, in advance, exactly which moments will trigger your emotional system and having a clear plan for each one. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce this tool specifically to address the gap between knowing what you want to say and actually being able to say it when pressure arrives. Why emotional reactivity is so hard to prepare against. Most preparation focuses on content: the argument you will make, the evidence you will cite, the outcome you want. That preparation is useful, but it addresses the wrong problem. Emotional reactivity is not a content problem. It is a physiological one. When someone says something that triggers your threat response, your body begins the process we call the amygdala hijack before your conscious mind has a chance to intervene. Your heart rate climbs. Rational thinking narrows. The careful argument you prepared becomes difficult to access. The brutal irony is this: the more important the conversation, the stronger the physiological response. High stakes sharpen the emotional edge. And most people walk into high stakes conflict with content preparation and no emotional preparation at all. I made that mistake for years. I would prepare what I was going to say, feel confident walking in, and then find myself reacting to something I had not foreseen. One snide remark, one dismissive tone, one unexpected twist, and my careful preparation became irrelevant. The pre-mortem method changed that because it addresses the actual problem, the moments of surprise that trigger reactivity. What needs to be in place before you begin? The conversation pre-mortem is not a quick mental scan on the way to the meeting room. It requires genuine solitude and enough time to be honest with yourself. If you rush it, you will miss the triggers that matter most, which are usually the ones you least want to examine. You need two things before you start. First, a basic understanding of your own emotional profile in conflict, what kinds of comments tend to destabilize you, whether that is perceived disrespect, being interrupted, having your competence questioned, or something else entirely. If you have not reflected on this before, take 10 minutes to do it now. It is foundational work. Second, you need enough separation from the emotional charge of the situation to think clearly. If you are furious at the person you are about to confront, sit with that for a moment before running the pre-mortem. Write it down if it helps. You cannot plan clearly while you are flooded. If you recognize that your team has been struggling with reactive conflict patterns more broadly, it is worth reading about the signs that an amygdala hijack problem is already active in your group before you do this work individually. The conversation pre-mortem. 6 steps. This is the process I outline in Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time. Work through each step in writing the first time you use it. The act of putting words on the page forces precision that thinking alone rarely produces. Number 1. Name the conversation you are preparing for. Write one sentence that describes the conflict clearly and without dramatics. Not the nightmare meeting with David, but the conversation with David about missed deadlines on the Henderson project. Specificity calms the emotional system slightly. Vagueness amplifies anxiety because the brain fills the gaps with worst-case assumptions. Number 2. List every emotional flashpoint you can imagine. Ask yourself, what could this person say, do, or imply that would genuinely destabilize me? Write every answer down without filtering. Common flashpoints include being accused of bad intent, being interrupted before you finish a point, being spoken to dismissively, receiving an unexpected personal criticism, or having a previous mistake brought into the room. The list should feel slightly uncomfortable to write. If it does not, you are editing yourself. Number 3. Assess the honest probability of each one. For every item on your list, ask, is this likely, possible, or unlikely based on what I actually know about this person and this situation? Mark each one. You will find that some items on your list are near certainties, and some are fears rather than genuine risks. This step matters because your nervous system treats a feared outcome the same as a probable one until you give it real data. Naming the distinction is an act of regulation, not denial. Number 4. Decide your response to every probable flashpoint. For each item you marked as likely or possible, write a short, clear response you could actually deliver in the moment. The script does not need to be polished. It needs to be yours. Here are 2 examples from the scripts in Say It Right Every Time. If someone accuses you of taking things personally, I hear that. I want to separate the emotional weight from the actual issue. Can we focus on what happened rather than how I'm responding to it? If someone raises an old mistake to deflect from the current conversation, I understand that's on your mind. I'd rather address that separately so we can give both issues the attention they deserve. Right now I want to focus on the Henderson project. Having these words prepared means the moment cannot ambush you. You have already been there. You already know what you will say. Number 5. Name the emotion you're most afraid of feeling. This step is the one people skip, and it is the most important one. Research in effective neuroscience has long suggested that naming an emotion reduces its intensity, a process sometimes called effect labeling. I have seen this play out in practice hundreds of times. There is a real difference between a person who walks into a room thinking I might get angry and a person who has already sat with the feeling and named it. I am afraid of feeling dismissed, and if I feel that, my instinct will be to shut down. The second person has a choice. The first one is simply hoping for the best. Number 6. Set your intention for how you want to leave the room, not your desired outcome. Your emotional intention. Write one sentence, how do you want to have conducted yourself, regardless of how the other person behaved. This might be, I want to leave having said what I came to say, without having attacked the other person, and without having abandoned my own position. That sentence becomes your compass for the conversation. When you feel yourself drifting, it pulls you back. How the pre-mortem works differently in remote conflicts. Remote and hybrid teams face a specific challenge. The emotional cues that help you self-regulate are significantly reduced on a screen. You cannot read a person's full body language. Silences feel longer and more ambiguous. A 2-second like can feel like disapproval. When you're preparing a conversation pre-mortem for a remote conflict, add one additional step between steps 3 and 4. Ask, what could the technology itself do that would destabilize me? The call drops at the worst moment. The other person goes on mute while you're making your most important point. You cannot tell whether they're thinking or dismissing you. These moments trigger reactivity the same way that interpersonal friction does. Plan for them explicitly. Decide in advance that a technical disruption is not a sign that the conversation has gone wrong. Decide what you will say if the call drops and you need to reconnect. Let me pick up where I left off, said calmly, is a full sentence that re-establishes your composure. For teams navigating these dynamics collectively, how to de-escalate team conflict without destroying synergy offers practical methods that complement what you are doing here individually. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imanblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong with this process. The pre-mortem is a powerful tool. It is also possible to use it in ways that increase anxiety rather than reduce it. These are the 3 errors I see most often. The mistake, treating the worst-case list as a prediction rather than a preparation. Why it happens. When you're anxious, the act of writing down fears can feel like summoning them. The brain starts treating the list as a forecast. What to do instead? After completing step 2, read back through the list and say to yourself, out loud if possible, these are possibilities I'm preparing for, not things I expect to happen. The act of naming the difference matters. The mistake, writing vague responses in step 4 that will not hold under pressure. Why it happens? Vague responses feel sufficient when you are calm. I'll just stay calm and redirect is not a script. It is a hope. What to do instead? Write an actual sentence you could speak out loud right now. If you can't say it comfortably in a quiet room, you will not be able to deliver it in a charged one. Test it on yourself before you test it in the meeting. The mistake. Skipping step 5 because it feels self-indulgent. Why it happens. Naming your own emotional fears can feel like weakness, particularly in work cultures that prize stoicism. People convince themselves they do not need it. What to do instead? Remember that naming an emotion is not the same as surrendering to it. It is the opposite. The person who knows they are afraid of feeling dismissed can choose how to respond when that feeling arrives. The person who is not named, it will simply react. Even with thorough preparation, conversations can still go sideways. If that happens, how to use the recover method when a team conversation goes wrong gives you a practical process for repair. Your pre-mortem preparation checklist. Take this into any difficult conversation. Work through it the night before, or at minimum an hour before the conversation begins. Before you start, I have a quiet space and at least 15 minutes of uninterrupted time. I have identified the core issue in one specific sentence. I'm calm enough to think clearly, or I have taken steps to get there. Step 1. Name the conversation. The conversation I am preparing for is. Write one specific sentence. Step 2. List the flashpoints. What could this person say that would destabilize me? What behavior from them tends to trigger my defensive response? What unexpected development could knock me off my position? Step 3. Assess probability. For each flashpoint likely, possible, or unlikely based on real evidence, have I separated genuine risks from anxiety-driven fears? Step 4. Script my responses. For each probable flashpoint, I've written at least one sentence I could actually deliver. I've read each script out loud to check that it sounds like me. Step 5. Name the emotion. The feeling I most fear experiencing in this conversation is. Name it. If that feeling arrives, my plan is. One sentence. Step 6. Set my intention. Regardless of what the other person does, I want to leave this conversation having. One sentence. After the conversation. Did my preparation hold? Which flashpoint caught me off guard, if any? What would I add to my preparation next time? That last section is not optional. The debrief is where you build the confidence competence loop. Each conversation teaches you something you can use more specifically in the next one. For conversations that require a structured method during the conflict itself, the deal method for fracturing team conflicts pairs well with this pre-mortem preparation. Preparing your team to do this together. The conversation pre-mortem is most often described as an individual practice. But teams that are preparing for a shared high-stakes moment, a difficult client conversation, a restructure announcement, a performance intervention involving multiple parties, can run a version of this collectively. The method is the same. You name the conversation, list the flashpoints that any team member might encounter, assess their probability as a group, and script collective responses. The effect is powerful. It normalizes emotional preparation as a team discipline rather than a private admission of anxiety. If your team is ready to work with this method at your group level, how to use the conversation pre-mortem to prepare your team for high-stakes synergy moments covers the team-level application in full. And when things do not go perfectly, even after thorough preparation, how to apologize to a team member in a way that actually restores synergy gives you the tools to repair the relationship without losing your own dignity. The ground you prepare before the storm. Here is the truth of it: emotional reactivity in conflict is not a character flaw. It is your nervous system doing exactly what it was designed to do. The question is not whether it will activate, but whether you have given it something to work with before it does. The conversation pre-mortem does not make you feel less. Nothing does that, and nothing should. What it does is transform anticipatory anxiety from an unstructured spiral into a source of preparation energy. You already know what might go wrong. You already know which moments could derail you. The pre-mortem asks you to stop treating that knowledge as a burden and start using it as a plan. I have used this method before some of the hardest conversations of my life, and I have seen others use it to walk into rooms they had been avoiding for months. Not because the conversation became easy, because they were no longer walking in blind. That difference between bracing for impact and being genuinely ready is where the conversation pre-mortem earns its place. It is the direct result of strategic preparation, and as I write and say it right every time, confidence built this way does not wobble when the pressure rises. The ground you prepare before the storm is what holds you when the storm arrives. Frequently asked questions. What is a conversation premortem? A conversation premortem is a preparation method where you identify the worst emotional outcomes a difficult conversation could produce, assess how likely each one is, and plan your response. It reduces emotional reactivity by removing the element of surprise before the conflict begins. How does the conversation premortem reduce emotional reactivity? It reduces emotional reactivity by forcing you to confront your triggers before the conversation happens. When you have already rehearsed your response to a worst-case scenario, the amygdala hijack loses its power because the situation no longer feels like a genuine threat. When should I use the conversation premortem before a conflict? Use it any time a conflict conversation carries real stakes, a performance review, a grievance discussion, a team confrontation, or a negotiation that could break down. The higher the emotional risk, the more valuable the premortem becomes as a preparation tool. How long does a conversation premortem take to complete? A thorough conversation premortem takes 15 to 30 minutes for most high-stakes conflicts. You can complete a shorter version in 10 minutes for moderate-stakes situations. The time invested before the conversation dramatically reduces the cost of emotional breakdown during it. Can the conversation premortem be used for remote or virtual conflicts? Yes. Remote conflicts carry unique emotional risks because non-verbal cues are limited and silences feel amplified. The premortem works well for virtual settings, but you should add a specific step to prepare for technical disruptions and plan how you will re-anchor emotionally if the connection drops mid-conversation. What is the difference between anticipatory anxiety and the conversation premortem? Anticipatory anxiety is unstructured worry about what might go wrong. The conversation premortem takes that same energy and channels it into deliberate planning. Rather than letting fear spiral, you name each threat, assess it honestly, and decide in advance how you will respond if it appears. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.